Well, I'm going to preach on a subject I may not have touched in a while. It's called fear. Out of 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, in verse 7, Paul is exhorting Timothy. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, I'm going to read it in the translation I've been using quite a bit so you can hear it in its actual Greek meanings, if you don't mind. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. He's given you a mind that's been delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, protected, and brought into a place of safety. See, God wants to bring you and I to a place, and that can only be found in Him, of safety. Boy, safety, isn't that powerful? A powerful security, so they're no longer affected by illogical, unfounded, absurd thoughts. I'm telling you out there, there's enough going on, enough thoughts, things are being said about so many things going on, but the Bible tells us that we can have peace and safety in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Know also in the last days that perilous times will come." We are in a place of perilous times. The Bible talks about in Matthew when his disciples said, how do we know when you're going to come back? He said, you'll be able to tell. And the first thing out of his mouth is this, don't be deceived. Fear is something that can deceive you and I if we're not careful. There's the fear of the Lord. I'll preach on it another day. But the fear that's in the world that wants to grab a hold of you and I is not from God. God has not given us that fear that we should fear what the world is saying and what's going on around us. But he said, be careful and don't be deceived. He said that a lot of things have got to take place before he returns. And he didn't say about the world coming to an end. He simply said this, at the end of this age, we are close to the end of this age. So many things prophetically have been put in place so Christ could show up at any moment, and we don't know when it'll be. But I'm ready, and you're ready, and you and I have to be ready as a light to this lost and dying world. You don't realize it, and maybe I don't realize it sometimes, but we're touching the lives of people that can get them from a place of maybe going to hell to a place of knowing that heaven is their home. Amen? I remember reading a story a number of years ago where a preacher took a church in Houston, Texas, and he was on his way from his house. He had to take transit, a bus, and he got in the bus, and he went sitting on the bus to the church in the inner city, and he noticed that the bus driver had given him an extra quarter. He said, wow, he gave me too much change. And he thought about it as the bus moved along and said, well, you know what? What's a quarter? They probably make so much money, they'll never miss the quarter. But he kept being touched by the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit says, you give that quarter back. Now, you see, those are the kind of things that may happen on an everyday basis. But guess what? If the Holy Spirit is nudging you to give back something, no matter how small it may be, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's what I have to do on a daily basis for myself, my family, and for you as a church. Well, he finally, at the end of the trip, went up to the front of the bus, started out of the bus, then turned around and said, oh, by the way, sir, you gave me 25 cents too much. He said, I know I did. He said, you did. He says, yeah, I just wanted to know if you would give it back or not. He looked, he said, well, that's kind of strange. He said, I thought you were the new preacher in town. And he said, I'm looking for a place to worship God. And when you said, here's the 25 cents back, I'll be in church Sunday morning. I was looking for a man of integrity and character. Who would ever think that a quarter would make a difference? But the key is this, obedience to what the Spirit of God is saying. Amen? So fear that tries to grip our hearts today cannot and will not take hold. Get your Bibles out if you don't already have them out and go quickly over to Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis, the third chapter. I want you to understand something that Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing new. I keep hearing believers say this, and I kind of like scratch my head a little bit. Well, it's just the new normal. Listen to me. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no new normal. Jesus said this, if you want normal, pick up your cross daily and follow me. That's a normal, and everybody wants to kind of crowd out the word of God and place new normals. If you're a believer listening today and watching, there are no new normals. There's nothing new. The Word of God says it. It states it. It's a fact. And the Holy Ghost is going to bring that to fulfillment. Amen? So listen now. Go to the third chapter, if you don't mind. The woman, I like this, in the second verse. Let's go over to the first verse, and we'll start there. Help us out. Now the serpent, chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? The first thing the enemy did back in the Garden of Eden, when there was just one voice, was he began to challenge the Word of God. Listen to what it says now in the second verse. It says this, and the woman said to the serpent, she started talking to somebody who was saying that, did God really say? Satan has not a bag of tricks. I hear people say, well, he's got a lot of tricks. And no, he doesn't have a bag, and he's only got one trick. That's to get to your mind and my mind and challenge the Word of God. There's nothing new under the sun. Stop listening to people rather than listening to the voice of God or the Word of God. Listen to me. She made a mistake. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from all the trees of the garden. Listen, you and I have to eat healthy in the natural for longevity, and we have to eat healthy in the realm of the spirit. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he said, I see you're drawing water here, but if you will draw water from me, you'll never thirst again. The Word of God is called the bread of life. Being Italian, boy, I can still remember my dad growing up. He worked at a bakery, and he'd get his fist, he'd bring a loaf of bread home, and he'd put it right through the bread, and he'd pull out the center of it, and he'd eat it like that. God wants us to reach into the bread of life, and he wants us to pull out what we need for every single occasion in our life. Amen? Don't let anybody challenge the Word of God. Let nobody challenge the Word of God in you. He may eat of any of the trees of the garden. Listen now, if we're eating from all the other trees that God said we could eat from, we'll be so full that when a trick comes along, when a lie comes along, we'll say, no thanks, push yourself away from that table because you've eaten on the precious Word of God and you're full on the Word of God. You don't need anything else. Nothing else will be attractable to you. How about Thanksgiving time? We eat, and then after we eat, you know, you have to have all these different hors d'oeuvres, and who knows what you go through. And then finally, somebody unbuttons their belt. Somebody sees a button pop off and go across the table, and people push themselves away from the table. No more. That's it. I've had it. That's how we should be in the realm of the Spirit. We should eat until we're full, and then we're full of what God has said to us, then we're not hungry or listening to something else that would bring us down. Amen? Look at the next verse. Except the fruit from the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, eat or touch. But the serpent said in the fourth verse to the woman, you shall not surely die. The devil, the enemy, Satan himself, is always going to be challenging the Word. He's going to try to challenge the Word in you and I. But if we know the Word, the Bible says his Word is forever fixed in heaven. It's got to also be fixed in us. Once it's fixed, it's not going to be moved. Amen. Once it's fixed in our heart, no matter what comes, it will not affect us in any way. Now, in the Garden of Eden, I preached this before, but I pulled it back out, if you don't mind. There are a couple of things that happened when Eve began to have a conversation with Satan. She didn't know it at the time, but two things entered in. There's two words, if I can give them to you. One is insecurity. Another one, if you don't mind, is what I would call inferiority. Up till that point, Eve had never had any question about God. There was God, there was Adam, and there was Eve. The three of them in the garden. It was a great combination because God placed them in this garden and he came every day to talk with them and have fellowship with them and say, hey, how did your day go? But then it all changed because of what the enemy said to Eve. And Eve, listen to me, before she bit into the fruit, she bit into what Satan had said to her. I'm going to say that again. Before she bit into the fruit, she bit what the enemy was saying to her. You and I cannot nibble on something that doesn't line up with the Word of God. We can't bite on something that's not part of the Word. Now, I'm going to talk about me for a minute, if you don't mind, as your pastor. I've had to make some difficult decisions, and I had to make them and be strong and stay put. I needed balance in my life. I thought I had it, but then the Spirit of God spoke this to me. He said, stop listening to the news and pay more attention to the good news. He said, you're out of balance. I said, I'm out of balance. How could that be? I just want to be informed of what's going on around me. He said this to me, be more concerned about what's going around on the inside of you, because that's where the kingdom is, than what man is saying. So for a number of months now, I've been off the news. I had to go into a convenience store, and on the way out, I glanced over at the newspaper, and I saw the headlines. I took a whole day to get what that one simple headline was out of my head. I fought it and fought it and fought it. Then I realized what God was saying, that if I digest what the world is saying, it will take my time up. It will challenge the Word of God on the inside of me. I'm not saying that's for you, but what I'm telling you I had to do was I had to balance my life out more than it has ever been before, because there are so many lies, there are so many truths that are out there. They're not really truths, they're half-truths, and it takes my time up and brings confusion into my heart. I've made this decision that the good news I can feed on and I can leave full and happy, and it doesn't disturb me, doesn't keep me up at night, doesn't keep me wondering what I should do, what I shouldn't do. The Word of God is plain. It will take your steps and my steps, and it'll be directed by the Holy Ghost. Amen? So listen to what these words mean. It's interesting. Insecurity means the state of being not secure, not confident, or not firm. Eve was all of those things before she let something in the door. Can't do that. But she did. Here's the other one, if you don't mind. Inferiority, the state of feeling lower in position, stature, and value. He brought her down from where she was by simply having her listen to what he said, and she bit into those words. My God, can I tell you something else that entered the garden that day? When God came into the garden and he looked for Adam and Eve, and where are you guys anyway? And they said, we hid ourselves, listen, because we were afraid. Fear came into the garden along with inferiority and insecurity. It came in. He said, who told you that you were? Because you ate from something you weren't supposed to. Here's what brought fear into the world in the garden. And I'm telling you, what has brought fear into this time that we're living in now, and what will keep it there, is a simple word, disobedience. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I wasn't eating fruit in the garden. No. What you and I need to do to get fear out and stay out is apply the Word of God. If we don't apply the Word of God to our spirit man, fear will run rampant through our lives and through our family and through everything that we touch. But if you and I will be obedient to the precious Word of God and apply the Word of God to every situation that comes, that's being obedient to the Word of God. Every promise in the book, every promise has already been taken care of. Every promise has already been fulfilled. So when we say the word and believe it by faith, it's already something that's done. I remember very clearly, and we just talked about it around Christmas time, that the Gabriel came to Zechariah and he said, you're going to give birth to a son. And he began to question what he said. But Gabriel said, I just came from the presence of God. Listen, this book just came out of the presence of God. This book is ever present. When the presence of God is noted and around us, it's because God wants to make a deposit. Amen? But then the same Gabriel came to Mary, and she heard him say, you're going to give birth to a son. And she said, but I'm a virgin. Nevertheless, no man will have a relationship with you, but the Holy Ghost will come on you and you'll conceive. And she said this now, here's what we should be saying. I don't understand it, but nevertheless, it's your word. All things are possible. We've got to take the position of Mary. We've got to take the position of hearing what the word says to us and apply it in Jesus' name. The Lord gave me this, and I'm just going to touch on one thing. There are different kinds of fires, and there's different kind of extinguishers that you have to use for different fires. I'm not going to read them all, but one of the things I found, first of all, you've got to put water on certain fires. And some of the extinguishers you have, listen, extinguishes and suffocates the oxygen out of the fire. You and I applying the word of God, having it come out of my mouth and your mouth, is like a fire extinguisher for a certain fire, and it causes the oxygen to be suffocated. It's interesting, Jesus said, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Now, my version says, and cast into the sea, and the mountain spoke back and said, I'm not going anywhere. There's no such version like that. When you speak to fear, when you speak to a problem, when you speak to sickness and disease, it can't answer you back because the mountain doesn't have a voice. You and I have the voice, and it's strong and it's certain because we serve a God that's alive and he's well. Amen. Glory to God. Now listen, the word infallible, infallible. The word of God is infallible. Listen. Incapable of making mistakes or being wrong. This book, the Bible, incapable of making mistakes or being wrong. I've started calling this Bible the Holy Bible. I use that when I talk to the folks in Pakistan. I start saying the phrase Holy Bible, not just Bible, because holy rings a chord in their life because they understand gods, they've worshiped gods. But when you say holy and you begin to talk about a holy Bible and a holy Jesus, something changes. The atmosphere changes. That opportunity that God has given to us, we're making an impression. People are getting saved and people are getting healed. Here's another one. Infallible means never failing, always effective. Remember that first week we were here? Paul, you helped me out. The box that we use to send a signal out wasn't working right. And we had got another one. That one wasn't working. So we had to send for an original one that we had to get it back so we can broadcast today. Things that you buy that are brand new will sometimes fail you. But the word of God is new every day, and it cannot and it will not ever fail you. Another definition, if you know mine, it's not liable to mistakes. The word of God, now listen to me. If what I'm saying to you about infallible, the word of God is, why is it that you and I as believers reach everywhere else but to get what we need to extinguish the fire? You see, the devil hates the word of God. The Bible says in Mark 4 that he comes to suffocate the word. Well, we're suffocating you, devil. We're suffocating you, fear. We're choking the oxygen out of you and telling you, you have no right and no place in my life or in the life of these precious saints of God. Amen? Now, can I go on and give you another definition of a word? We've used it before. It says this, absolute, absolutely infallible. Absolute, let me give you a few definitions. It's so sure it'll never change. It's so sure it will never change. So sure it will never change. I've been challenged by fear during this difficult time. You have, members of my family have, pastor friends that I know, fear is trying to come at them. But when you stand up strong and put your finger in the face of fear and realize that fear does not belong in your life, does not belong in my life, and it's not going to take control, I'm not going to be breathing a breath and fearing, oh my God, what's coming next? I already know what came next. Jesus died for you, died for me. He kicked fear out when he went to Satan in the belly of hell and said, oh, by the way, Satan, before I leave, hand over the keys of death. Listen, fear will make you afraid of death. Fear, hell, and the grave. He's taken them all, and he has them, and he slung them over his shoulder as he left the devil looking at Jesus as he walked out and said, I've lost control. The enemy's lost control unless you and I let the mountain of fear speak back to you and I. Lift your hands right where you are now and begin to praise him. Say, mountain, you don't have a chance. Mountain, you're not going to talk back to me. I won't give you a place in my life. When I sense fear trying to come at me, I just get up and start walking around, go for a drive, just praising the Lord. And listen, if I'm praising God, I don't have time to listen to a whole bunch of other stuff. I've changed what I do in my life. I brought better balance into it because the Lord told me, stop listening to everything you're listening to. You need to know what's going on, but if we know what's going on in the Word, we already know what the headlines are. Jesus said, in the last days, what we're experiencing will come about. This isn't something that's caught him totally by surprise. He knew we'd be here. He knew the Antichrist spirit would raise his ugly head, and he has just done that. Listen, the word corona, if you look it up, the word corona means this crown. Interesting. But then again, Satan can't create anything. He has no ability to reproduce. So he's a thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He stole something, a crown, sickness and disease, hello. But I know somebody else who wore a crown and is wearing a crown now. His name is Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He doesn't have the ability to create anything but to get you and I to latch on to fear and let that thing rule and reign in your life. But they said this and they said this. And here's what the Word of God said. This is where I put my faith and my hope, and I'm not listening to other people and what they're saying and what they're expressing. Sometimes the only way I get a little bit of news is somebody has to tell me something. I want to say, don't tell me anything. Well, here's what they say may happen. Forget that stuff. I got something that tells me the truth every single day. Here's another one. The Word of God is absolute, and it's without any doubt. See, understand that doubt is the lead man for fear to come in. Doubt comes, and once doubt comes, everything else will come with it. Here's another one. It's without limits. It's without limits. You've bought something, maybe a mattress or something, and it says limited lifetime warranty. Doesn't exist with the Word. It's always true. It's been proven. Jesus is the only leader that came, died, and rose from the dead. You can find every other religion on the planet, and you won't find anybody walking around like Jesus did. The Bible says for 40 days, he walked around performing miracles. So many, we couldn't even keep track of them. Why? Because he's not dead. He's alive today. He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. If he's interceding for you and I, we need to do the same thing. Intercede for our family, our loved ones. We need to take what's being said around us and put it under our feet and stand strong and say, the Word of God says this. The Word of God is infallible. The Word of God, the Word of God. And once that becomes to come out of our mouth, things will begin to change. Now, when it comes to fear, there are ways of uprooting fear. What do you mean by uprooting? If you have a weed in the ground, you can pull that thing out. You and I can weed out, listen, we can weed out fear by first of all doing this, making right decisions. Listen, it will free us from the spirit of fear. Oh boy, power of ministry. Say the power of ministry is faithfulness. What we at Harvest Church are is faithful to the call of God and what he's asking us to do. When the presence of God, I'm going to repeat this again, comes into your life and my life, he brings a deposit. There's a deposit of the Word of God and the Spirit of God in this place. The Bible says, Jesus said this, in the last days, just before he returns, he will have everyone here on planet Earth the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You and I as a church are having the opportunity to reach people that have never heard the name of Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Never heard the name of Jesus. My God. What is that? It's an opportunity that has come our way. I was going to tell you this next week, but I'll tell you now. Another opportunity came to us on the 19th of this month. I'll be doing a Zoom call to Pakistan. In the afternoon, I'm going to be, listen now, preaching to 17 African nations. And I said, how many people is that? They said, tens of millions of people will hear you. My God, tens of millions. There's no way of counting that. Jesus is coming soon. Don't buy into fear. Don't buy into anything that may be coming your way. The Lord told me years ago, he said that you would preach the gospel around the world. And I felt, well, we finally got the internet and look at how many ways we're reaching out. No idea that from my office or from this auditorium, I'd be reaching tens of millions of people, and it wouldn't cost this church a penny except buying Bibles to put in their hands, and you graciously sowed a beautiful offering, so we're still from that offering sending Bibles around the world. People have never heard the gospel. Say, never heard the gospel. Listen to me. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is never going to let anybody down. Jesus Christ loves you with an everlasting love. I've been reading a devotional book for quite a long time, and I realized something I preached several weeks ago, that fear has a strategy. But if fear has a strategy, so does the Word of God have a strategy. It's called faith. You see, faith reaches into the future. And here's what I found out. And there's many times God's asked me to do something, and I stepped out by faith. This building, this church, this plot of land is something God told me to do. Step out by faith. There was no money to do anything. But I've learned over my lifetime that if I step out by faith and reach out to what God is saying in the darkness of, well, I don't see anything, there's no money, I can sense and feel the hand of God reaching out to mine. And every time I've done that, Jesus, the Word of God, has been faithful to pull me in and pull anything and everything that we need. When we had no money to buy this land, an older couple came up to me and he said, listen, we want to help you with this property. We want to give you $230,000. They said, we're going to loan it to you. I said, that's fine. We paid them back, but they started the ball rolling. They're both in heaven now. They passed on. And then somebody came along. We had no money to build a building. My God. And somebody said, look, and I want to help you, and got five co-signers to come and co-sign for this building. And we paid them all back. This building is debt-free. The property's debt-free because I reached my hand out by faith and grabbed a hold of what God had said. And you and I are sitting in a building. We're in a place where God has led us and directed us. And I want to tell you something. Jesus is Lord. He's going to remain Lord. If you want to get fear to run scared, there's a couple of things I found in my notes from years ago. And it goes like this, if you don't mind. Watch your thoughts, because they become words. This is the only place that Satan has to get to you and I. Rick Renner, in his book on Dress to Kill, says it very nicely. He said, beware of the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means he is a deceiver. But it goes further and says, with a road. Well, what does that mean? Every road has a destination. The road the enemy takes, he only has one. Remember, he doesn't have a bag of tricks. Let me see what I can do today. He's not Santa Claus. I'll use this one today. He's got one, to attack our mind like he did Eve, to challenge the Word of God in you and I. And once he challenges it and we begin to believe it, he'll get a foothold. Listen again now. Our thoughts, they become words. We've got to be careful about what we're thinking. The Bible says, cast all your care on him. The Bible says, cast down those strongholds. Listen, watch your words. They become actions. Wow. Another one, watch your actions because they become habits. Another one, watch your habits because they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Say it becomes your destiny. Wow, I've got a couple of scriptures and we'll close with these if you don't mind. I just read so many devotionals that I have on my wife and myself, and we get blessed by them. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. I remember one man saying this, we can look and say this, good morning, Lord, or good Lord, it's morning. See, I wake up and say, good morning, Lord. But some people wake up and say, oh no, it's another day. Yeah. Can I tell you where the biggest problem is in your life and my life? Is when we look in the mirror in the morning, what's looking back to us is our biggest problem. It's not the devil. No, it's not him. It's you and I, how we see the day coming. We could say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for creating a new day for us. Or good Lord, it's morning again. I look into the mirror and I say, good morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A brand new day. It could be snowing. It could be raining. It could be sleet or hail. What goes on out there doesn't affect what goes on in here. I'm telling you, God has made you for such a time as this. Such a time as this. You're special. You're important to him. And when you look in the mirror, don't let what you look at, oh, I just don't feel good today. Well, see, there you go. Can I tell you a little secret? Shut your mouth. Don't say what you feel like. Say what the word says about you. Let the weak say, I am strong. Well, I said it, Pastor, nothing happened. The Bible says, keep saying it. The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing and hearing. See, because the strategy of the enemy, which is fear, can be pushed down under our feet because the strategy of the Word and God is faith. How do you fight it? Have a strategy of faith. Amen. Can I give you another one? Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, say your name, I'm going to do that again. You say your name, I'll say my name. He who has begun a good work in Paul will complete it until the day of Christ. Wow. I wrote down this little note here, if you don't mind. Problems can move a defeated mindset to a confident one that declares nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. We have an interpreter for the villages in Pakistan. And I found out before we went on the broadcast that the young lady, her name is Venus. She said, I'm getting married, Pastor. I said, oh, wonderful. She told me when. And as soon as she said that, she said, call up your contact and tell her we're sending her an offering. I said, what do I want to do that for? The Holy Spirit said to do it. So that's what we're going to do. Why? Because he said it. Well, it doesn't make much sense. You've never met her. You've just talked to her. It doesn't have to make sense, because out of obedience will flow the blessings of life. I'm not only touching her, I'm touching her family, I'm touching her fiance, I'm touching those places that she, in fact, is interpreting for and does a supernatural job. We're planting a seed in her life. See, you don't have to understand it. I learned that a long time ago. Don't try to understand it. Just be obedient to what he says to do. Amen? Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, you know what I replaced in my Bible? Jesus is it. So when I say this, whatsoever things, it's Jesus that's true. Whatsoever things are noble, it's Jesus. Whatsoever things are just, Jesus. Whatsoever things are pure, Jesus. Whatsoever things are lovely, Jesus. Whatsoever things are of good report, Jesus. If there is any virtue, that's Jesus. And there's anything praiseworthy, Jesus, meditate on these things. We need to meditate on Jesus every single day. Don't take into you and I something, listen, something that's going to cause a problem when it comes to us in the Word of God. Amen? If I can put it this way, God's limitless. What does that mean? He's got more than enough to take care of what you and I need. Amen? Can I give you one more? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Wow. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I see people driving, and they make a left turn, and they lean with the turn. Then they make a right turn, and they lean with the right turn. Their leaning is going to make the car lean. God says, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to, well, God, is there anybody else out there? God, you know, he said, stop thinking about what you think is right. My word is solid. It's strong. I don't know one human being on the planet that doesn't change his mind all the time. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, all your ways, all your ways, all your ways, acknowledge him. Listen, and he shall direct your path. He will direct your path. He will direct your path. My God, I think I told you this during the summer. We drove by a place several times, and we kept seeing this lady sitting at a picnic table. My wife said, go back. I said, what for? She said, go back. The Lord told me I need to ask her if she knows Jesus. I said, I don't want to turn around and go back. She said, the Lord said, I've said, here I go. We went back. I sat in the car, and she led this lady, her name was Babs, to the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at her picnic table on a country road. We've never seen that lady sit out there again. That was the opportunity. That was the day when Jesus Christ came into her life. And when we started back on the road, we both felt the peace of God because we did the right thing at the right time. Amen? When Peter and John on the way to the temple passed this man every single day on their way to prayer, every single day, but this particular day, he stops and talks to the man. He says, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. My question is, why didn't you do it sooner, God? It's none of my business. It's not your business, but understand when the Spirit of God speaks, just do it and respond to it. God's got a perfect plan. Say he's got a perfect plan. Hebrews 11:1, I'm going to end with this one. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My God, I wrote this down also, if you don't mind. I got out of one of my devotionals. People without hope often sink into depression. Fear can do that to you, you know. Becoming filled with deep despair. Life turns meaningless because there's no different from one joyless day to the next. Don't let fear put you in that box. You have every day full of joy. You have every day that's happy and it's sound and it's strong because the Word of God has taken priority in your life and in my life. Here's the last word for you. Start looking at your life. Take an inventory of it and start balancing out what the Holy Spirit speaks to you to balance out. What does that mean? Well, no more of this and a little bit less than this. I remember years ago, I had to go to a nutritionist. You don't want to get an Italian guy in front of a nutritionist. All kinds of rubber food on the table. She says, put on the plate what you would normally eat. Well, when I got done, the thing, I picked up the plate and it was going like this, all the rubber food. And then she said, okay, that's what you eat? Yeah, and that's only breakfast. And she started taking off one at a time, all the different foods, all the rubber foods. And when she got done, there was just one thing in the bottom of the plate. I remember picking up the plate like this and said, is there anything else to eat? She said, no, but that's how you have to start eating if you want to have longevity. I never forgot those words. Why? Because what she was saying was true. You can eat yourself into a grave if you're not careful. The same way in the natural, you've got to be in the spirit realm. I'm here in the ministry today because of what a man said to me years ago, and I've quoted it so many times. It was a pastor's convention. He got up. His name was Bob Bartlett. Never forget it. He stood up and said this one phrase. That's why I'm standing here today with my wife and family. If God calls you into the ministry, don't ever settle to be a king or a president. There have been times when we wanted to quit, give up, things got too tough, let somebody else do this, but that rings true in my spirit. There's no greater calling than to tell somebody about Jesus. Being a king or a president is no match for the opportunity of telling somebody heaven can be your home, Jesus can change your life and turn everything around. Bow your heads right where you are at home if you don't mind. Just say a simple prayer with me if you're not a born-again believer. Jesus, today, I'm asking you to make the difference in my life. I'm asking you to come in and change this hopelessness that I have. I can't seem to fill that void on the inside of me, but today, right now, I know Jesus is the answer. And the Holy Ghost just said this to me, it's not just for people that aren't saved. Some of you go to Harvest Church, you're a believer, but yet there's a void, an emptiness on the inside of you, and you've been trying to fill it, and it's not working. That's because there's too much clutter. Too much clutter. Too much clutter. You got to take inventory. See, God wants to get your spiritual life in order also. The empty void on the inside of you can be filled by the power and presence of God, and He's coming back for you and I, and I'm going to be ready and taking everyone I know with me in Jesus' name.